Hey, good morning. Happy Easter to you. My name is Sten Carlson. I'm the lead pastor here at Midcurrent Church, and we are thrilled to have you here with us at the very first Easter service at Midcurrent Church. I am actually more excited than you will ever know about this church, about our doors being opened, and about this first of ours, because this church, it's actually something that's been somewhat of a dream of mine for a long time. Now, while I couldn't point to exactly what it was at every step of the way, some version of this has been a picture on my mind for honestly about the last 10 years now. And so the fact that every Sunday, and then this Sunday in particular, the fact that it becomes more and more of a reality is incredibly exciting to me. But what you'd never know unless I told you, and I'm going to tell you, what you'd never know is that there was many moments early on when I was so tempted to throw in the towel. And by throw in the towel, I mean there were so many moments early on when from where I was standing, from what I was experiencing, from what was happening to me, there were two different paths in front of me. Either I keep doing this church thing or, and this was so appealing at times, right? Either I keep doing this church thing or I trade in my microphone for a bright orange apron and I become the best darn cashier that Home Depot has ever seen. Now that thought, it might get a laugh right now, but at the time, I was not laughing, right? It was in these moments that I was feeling like, you know what, maybe I'm at the end of the line here. Like maybe this would be a whole lot easier if I just said, okay, I quit. To make a long story short, it was in some of those early years that both professionally and personally, I kind of just went through the school of hard knocks. And at times it got pretty discouraging. And all that discouragement led to a whole lot of questions and a whole lot of doubt about what I was doing. And time again, I remember I'd meet with a friend and a pastor and a mentor of mine, and I'd wonder out loud if I was doing the right thing, if I was going down the right path. And despite his encouragement that I was, it was still in these moments of doubt, in these moments of questioning, that Home Depot emerged as my fantasy escape plan. Isn't that like every guy's, you know, backup plan? If this doesn't work out, I'll just go work at Home Depot. Right? That's what I was thinking. I figured, okay, this must be the end of the line. Right? When I couldn't figure out how what was next, when things didn't go as planned, when I couldn't anticipate how they'd play out for me, when I couldn't see what was around the bend, I figured, okay, this is it. This is the end of the line. Now I don't know if Home Depot was actually a job that I wanted, because I'm like the least handy person in the world, so I don't know if that's the job I really wanted as much as it was just the thought or the comfort of some kind of plan B, some kind of easy way out. Some kind of knee-jerk reaction to a dream or to a thought or to a plan that felt like it was dying right in front of me. Do you ever have something important in your life feel like it's dead or feel like it's dying or broken right in front of you? I know this is, it's Easter, right? And today's a big, fun, bright day of celebration, and we wear nice clothes, and we smile big smiles, and we eat great dinners with the family. But I just wonder if all of that is not always a picture of reality. That maybe everything on the outside doesn't really match what's on the inside for many. I wonder if what's on the inside of you today is the reality that something is dead, something is dying, that something is broken. Maybe it's a dream that's dead or dying in you, right? Something you always longed for, something you always envisioned for your life, it's starting to feel like it's slipping away. I mean, maybe it's a goal you always had for yourself, but the window is closing and the probability is shrinking. Or maybe it's a reputation of yours right? That's taken a plunge in the community or in the workplace or in the business world or in the halls at school. And you think, man, there's no coming back from this. There's no rebounding from this one. Maybe it's a career that's in jeopardy or in limbo. Maybe it's the promise of a promotion or a next step or a next chapter that feels like it's slipping out of your fingertips. Maybe it's a mistake that's threatening everything that is important to you. Maybe it's a relationship that's strained, that's fractured. Maybe it's a marriage that's lifeless, that feels like it's broken and only hanging on by the smallest thread. Maybe hope is dying in you. Maybe something was taken from you a long time ago. Maybe something happened long ago that robbed you of a life that you could have been able to live. Maybe it's the confidence that you once had in God that's dead. Maybe it's the belief that He's good or that He is real or that He loves you. This list could go on and on. I don't know what it might be for you. I just think that most of us know the reality of something in our life that feels like it's dead. And when this is our experience, like it was mine in many ways, when I was feeling like maybe this is the end of the line, when this is our experience, I think we're pushed right to the edge of some pretty big decisions about what our next step is going to be. And the question is, how do we respond? Right? Death and darkness and pain and brokenness and uncertainty, they often push us right to the edge of those kinds of decisions. And our response in those moments impacts our future from that moment on. So these moments are significant ones. And the truth is, Jesus had one of these moments. 3 days before the very first Easter Sunday, with darkness and death, a literal death closing in on him, Jesus was pushed to the edge of this same kind of decision, a decision that would impact not only his life, but all of humanity for all time. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. The reality of death is nearing for Jesus. He sees the writing on the wall. He knows the course that's been set out for him, and reality is starting to set in. And so he goes to be alone and to pray to God, his Father. Here's what he says. He says, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me." Let me translate. He's saying, "God, if it is possible, I think I'd rather trade in this cross for the orange Home Depot apron." He's saying, is there any other way that I can do what I need to do? Right? He's interested to know if there's anything behind door number two. He's wondering if there's any chance that he doesn't have to go through with this. He's wondering if there's an easier way out. I think the same is often true of you and me. When life deals us a bad hand, when darkness closes in, when there's tension and conflict in relationship, when there's brokenness in marriage, when there's loneliness or fear or anger or loss or death, I think we too are tempted with what's behind door number two. With what we think is behind door number two. I think we're quick to turn toward the emergency exit, to the easy way out, where we think the pain goes away. And I think it's in these moments when we're standing at that fork in the road that the battle is won or lost. Do we stay the course or do we bail out? Do we bail on our faith? Do we bail on our family? Do we bail on our marriage? Do we bail on our reputation or on our integrity? Or do we bail on morality and the values that we hold for ourselves? Do we do what is right? Or do we do what feels easier in the moment? Keep working hard or just throw in the towel? Right? Admit what's hurting or just keep numbing the pain? Or do we acknowledge the past or just go on pretending like it didn't happen? Do we fix what's broken right here? Or do we flirt with danger over here? Do we honor God even when it hurts? Or do we fill the void? Right, the things that are broken in us push us to the edges of these kinds of decisions. And in the hours before his impending death on a cross, Jesus, he's asking the same kind of question. Stick to the plan or find a way out? Here's a spoiler alert. He doesn't find the way out. Right, he didn't escape death. The gospel writer Matthew, a guy who lived in that day and witnessed these things, he describes the moment surrounding this event. He writes this: at noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, my God, why have you abandoned me? Darkness everywhere. Jesus saying, God, why did you abandon me? It's a pretty grim scene. And we know that Jesus then would go on to die a slow and an excruciating death on a cross. But the good news of Easter is that God had not abandoned him. He didn't turn his back on Jesus. He was just writing a different end to the story. So let's fast forward to the end of the story that every church across the world is telling today. Jesus died, yes, but 3 days later, three women went to the tomb where Jesus was buried to mourn his death. And they were greeted by an angel who said to them, do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Now, even for the most infrequent of churchgoers, this shouldn't be much of a surprise. I don't think there's a need to warn you with any kind of spoiler alert for this part of the story. Every year, the Easter story, it ends the same way. The stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. The body is gone. Jesus is raised from the dead. Same story, same ending, every time. The question is, why is that good news to us? Why does that matter to you and to me? It matters because there are a whole lot of things that are dead in us. And the same power that brought Jesus back to life is the same power that's capable of bringing what's dead in you and me back to life. Right, the fact that Jesus defeated death means that whatever is dead in you and me, it doesn't have to stay that way. The question is, how? How is the same story written in our lives? How is resurrection possible for what's dead in us? How is it that we see dead and broken things in us come back to life again? The key to cracking that code is to take a real close look, a second look at the response of Jesus when he stared death in the face. To take a look at the whole time that he stood there alone and prayed. To take a look at his response in that moment. You see, right after he asked for a way out, he said something that set the final chapter of the resurrection into motion. And my hope is that his response might become our response. So let's look at what he says. We'll turn back to Matthew 26. The moments before his death on a cross. Remember, Jesus is alone and he's praying and he asks God if there is another way. But here's what he says with his very next breath. He says, yet, or but, or on the other hand, or on second thought. He says, I want your will to be done, not mine. Right? Death is knocking at his door. And he's saying, God, I don't like it. He said, if it were up to me, I'd do it a different way. But I want to do it your way, not mine. He's saying, God, I trust that you see what's happening here. I trust that you are in control. I trust that you will pull me through. I trust that there is a light at the end of this long and dark tunnel. He says, God, I'll do it your way, not mine. And so he willingly submits himself to God's way, to God's plan. A plan that results in victory and a new life, yes, but not without pain first. Not without uncertainty, not without darkness, and not without death. And in spite of it all, he says, nope, not my way, God. I'll do it your way. He said, God, if it was up to me, I'd maybe choose another way out. But he says, nope, I'm going to do it your way, God. And that response changes everything. So when it comes to what is dead in us, what we learn from Jesus' response is this, that it's our response in death that leads to our triumph in life. Let me say that again. It's our response in death that leads to our triumph in life. Right? It's how we respond to the things that are dead and broken in us. It's how we respond to God in those moments that leads to the possibilities of new life. Right? So how do you respond to what's dead? Is it bitterness, anger, indifference, overindulgence? Is it isolation, right? Do you quit? Do you walk out? Do you shut down? Do you get back at them? Do you get revenge on them? Do you close yourself down? Do you close yourself off? Do you just give up on it all? I hope not. I hope not. Because here's what's true of what is dead in us, that God can't raise it up if we've already given up. Right? If we've already turned for the emergency exit, if we've already turned for the easy way out, if we've already checked out, if we've already turned our back, if we've already jumped ship or bailed out on them or bailed out on it or bailed out on God, then God can't bring it back to life. Right? If we've already given up on our hopes and dreams, God can't bring it back to life. Right? If we've already given up on our marriage, God can't bring it back to life. If we've already given up on our reputation, God can't bring it back to life. If we've already given up on our kids or on our family or on our career or on our purpose in life, God can't bring it all back to life. If we've given up on life in general, because of the hand that we've been dealt or because of the missteps we've made along the way, God can't bring it or whatever is dead or broken in you back to life. It's our response to what's dead in us that determines the great new possibilities in life. And it's Jesus' willingness to trust God, even in death. Right? It's his willingness to trust God in death that leads to his unthinkable and to his triumphant new life. And I can't help but wonder where the same is true for you and me. It seems to me that our willingness to do things God's way, right? To continue on, or to start on, maybe for the first time, to continue or start on the path that God has laid out, to walk the line that God has laid out. Even in the presence of darkness, even in the midst of brokenness, even in the face of uncertainty, it seems to me that this is the path that leads to resurrection and to seeing what's dead coming back to life. And so my hope for you and me is this. Right, in the moments when life feels like it's choked out of us, when everything feels like it's broken around us, when we can't see past the darkness that surrounds us, when we can't see what tomorrow holds, when we can't anticipate if and how it will all play out. Right, when we've got one foot down the path that leads to the emergency exit and the easy way out, I'm hoping that you and I can learn to do one thing. Go the opposite way. Right? When you've taken one step toward bailing out or checking out or giving up, go the opposite way. Because our response in death and in darkness is what leads to our triumph in life. So how willing are you to say what Jesus said, God, I'll do it your way, not mine. How willing are you to trust that God can orchestrate what it is that you can't even anticipate? How willing are you to trust that God and God alone can bring what's dead and broken back to life? How willing are you to believe that God could still write a new chapter in your life, whether you're 16 or 65? How willing are you to believe that God could still write a new chapter in your life, or maybe a new beginning to your story? How willing are you to believe that that's possible? And as you let that question hang, let me just ask you this again. What's dead in you? What's dying in you? What's broken in your life right now? What resurrection story could God be writing in you? What could God be orchestrating in your life? What broken pieces could He be putting back together again? And maybe more importantly, will you let Him? Will you stay the course? Will you let Him put those pieces back together again? The good news of Easter is that the tomb was empty. Jesus was raised from the dead. Death was defeated. And the power that brought a dead man back to life again is the very power at work in you and me. It's the very same power that God makes available to you and me to bring what's dead back to life again if we let Him. So what dream? What relationship? What loss? What mistake? What hurt? What hope could be brought back to life in you? The death or the brokenness of one or any of these things is never the end of the story, as long as we stay the course and let God keep writing. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't bail out. Don't turn for the emergency exit or the easy way out. God didn't abandon Jesus on the cross. He just had a greater ending in mind. And God hasn't abandoned you. No matter what it is that you experience today, no matter what kind of darkness is setting in, no matter what feels like it's dead or dying or broken in you, God hasn't abandoned you. I think He's just writing a different ending to your story. He too has a greater ending in mind for you. An ending that I hope that every one of us gets to experience. It's a life that's made possible by Jesus that I hope we all get to experience. And if you've never said yes to that kind of life before, if you've never said yes to Jesus before, maybe today. Maybe right here this morning, Easter 2018 at Midcurrent Church, maybe this is the day that you do just that. That you say yes to that kind of resurrection story made possible by Jesus. That you say yes to Jesus for the very first time. So here's what I'm going to ask us all to do. I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes, bow your heads. And if that's you today, right, saying yes to Jesus for the very first time. If that's you, I'd ask you to just to yourself, just silently, just right where you are, just pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, today I say yes to you. Today I say yes to your way in all things, God, in life and in death. I say yes to your way, not mine. I say yes to you being the one that I follow, God. I give you myself. I give myself to you and to the story that you'd write for me. And for all of us here, God, I just want to say thank you for this morning and thank you for the good news, the God, the greatest news ever. Of the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, God. We thank you for the power that is on full display when you bring a dead man back to life, God, and we give you thanks for that same power that's made available to us to bring what's dead back to life. God, this changes everything for us. And I pray that, God, no matter what it is that we are facing here this morning, God, no matter what it is we are facing, no matter what it is that we're staring at face to face today, I ask that you would help us to trust in you, God, to remember that the same power is available to us to see the things that are dead come back to life. God, we give you thanks for this news. We give you thanks for your love for us, for your incredible grace for us that's on display on the cross and that it's on display in the great news of the resurrection. God, we give you thanks for this morning. We give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen.